Hey, LifeBridge family, hope all of you are doing well. You know, this Sunday, or depending on when you are watching, is the beginning of what churches call Holy Week. The week that begins with Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus, as our Bibles say in their respective headings, the triumphant entry. Now, you might be familiar with the scene, maybe from Sunday school and looking at illustrated pictures of this story, or maybe you've seen it in movies. You're familiar with this. Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, and he's riding on the back of a colt, a donkey. It's the Passover celebration. Many Jews have made the pilgrimage to Jerusalem to participate in the ceremonies of that week. And on this day, the crowd desires one thing mainly, as they do most of their life, and that is they want to be set free. They're tired of the Roman government. They're tired of their history of always being in bondage. And so today, especially, they want to be set free. And here is the Messiah. Here's the one riding into town on a donkey. And just as the prophet Zechariah wrote years before, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." And these people who want to be free, that's what they see. They see their king, and they start shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." They wave their palm fronds back and forth. They take their garments off, and they lay them down as a sign of respect. "Hosanna," they are shouting. We pronounce that Hosanna. God save us. In that week, that's exactly what he did. He saved them. He saved us. If you're a member of LifeBridge and you're watching this, if you guys are doing your inductive Bible study, maybe this verse sounds familiar to you. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. "God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." So today kicks off a usually busy week for churches. There's different services, the Monday-Thursday service, the Good Friday communion celebrations, all with the focus of the sinless, spotless Lamb of God that was offered as a ransom to save you from your empty life. We call this Holy Week. Holiness is one of the attributes of God that we are looking at in this series. The word holy is one of those words that, if you are vaguely familiar with the Bible or Christianity, then you've probably heard this word. We're looking at the attributes of God so that we can become like him. And that's what Paul wrote so many different times in his letters, especially to the one in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, it says that we're to put on our new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Now, if I want to be like him, I've got to know what he is like. And God is many things, but the holiness of God is the most prominent of all his divine attributes, which represent his incomprehensible character. Holiness belongs to God and to God alone. As Hannah wrote in her praise of God, she praised God for being holy. And she says that no one is holy like him. And then she says no one is even like him. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors, wrote this when it comes to God and holiness. He says, "Holy is the way God is. To be holy, he does not conform to a standard. He is that standard. Because he is holy, all his attributes are holy. That is, whatever we think of as belonging to God must be thought of as holy. Whatever we think of as belonging to God must be thought of as holy. You know, as followers of Jesus, you and I belong to God. We are His. I mean, we just read that He paid a ransom for our lives. He saved us. Are you holy? I mean, do you consider yourself to be a holy person? Peter wrote in chapter 1 of his first letter, "For the Scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy." Are you holy? Well, if you're like me, when it comes to this question, you will hopefully take the high road and say, not even close. Or maybe you think a little bit more of yourself and maybe you straddle the fence. You know, some days, yes, I am holy, and you know, some days, no. But hey, usually I'm there. I'm pretty close to it. Well, here's the reality. That question doesn't even matter. What matters is the understanding of how do I become holy? Is that through a series of works, of good deeds that I do? Do I become holy by doing a better job of not sinning? Maybe I become holy through the combination of church attendance, giving some money, and not sinning as much as I used to. How do I become holy? Well, Mark Moore answers this question in his book, Core 52. And he asks the question too, what makes an object or a person holy? Holiness happens when God takes ordinary objects and claims them for His purpose. Don't miss that, okay? I want to say that again. Holiness happens when God takes ordinary objects and He claims them for His purpose. For example, an ordinary plot of ground can become sacred if God shows up there. An ordinary animal set aside for sacrifice suddenly becomes consecrated. A person elected by God becomes a priest or a prophet. These become sacred, not because their nature becomes different, but because their purpose becomes different. Our biblical achievements are not what makes us holy. We are holy today because God has claimed us as His and through the Holy Spirit living in us. Holiness is not something we achieve. Holiness is something that we receive. Now, we understand this idea because we do the same thing with ordinary objects all the time. Moore continues on in his writing. He says, take a toothbrush, for example. It's an ordinary object that has dozens of potential uses. Yet once you put it in your mouth, you're protective of anything else using it for anything else, right? I mean, you get this. Once a toothbrush touches the inside of your mouth, you're not going to let someone else use it for anything else. You're not going to use it for anything else. You're not going to clean toilets. You're not going to clean grout. You're not going to clean shoes. The purpose of that toothbrush has been set by you, the owner, and you now use the toothbrush to fulfill its purpose. The toothbrush received its purpose from you, the owner. Moore continues on with another example. Take an ordinary bolt of linen fabric, fashion it into a garment, drape it on a bride, and it becomes unthinkable to wear on a morning jog. Why is this? Because when ordinary objects are sanctified for special service, they become out of bounds. They become off limits. Or to use biblical terminology, they become holy. Look at the scripture passage that Peter was quoting when he said, "You be holy as I am holy." It actually comes from the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 45. "For I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy as I am holy. Notice the details of that verse. God chose them. God rescued them. They did nothing but respond when God said, "Come on up out of Egypt." God's selection of Israel is what makes holiness possible, not Israel's work. We are holy because we are His. Paul wrote to Timothy in his second letter. He said, "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace." He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything you and I have done, but for His own purpose and out of grace. As a result of this calling on our life and belonging to God, there is a response that should happen. The first verse I shared with you, the one from Ephesians chapter 4, 24, says that you must put on your new nature. Like that's you. You are responsible for putting on your new nature. And so we are to put on this new nature. Simply, we are to be obedient. Church, as I surrender my life with a desire to become more like Him, I will desire to be obedient. But the truth is this: desire for obedience happens when surrender happens. I want the old flesh-driven nature to be replaced with this new nature, but I fail. Oh, I fail often. Holiness is a challenge. And a lot of times, I want to live in the moment for me. That's not surrender. Okay? I want to live in the moment for me instead of the life that Jesus desires for me. I get it. Holiness is hard. But as we surrender our lives to Him, the desire for obedience happens. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." Church, my prayer today is that you will examine your life, asking yourself what areas need to be purified so that God can perfect holiness in my life. And maybe you need to ask the prayer that David prayed and say, "Lord, search my heart. You know me, God. Reveal to me anything that contaminates my life, anything that keeps me from holiness." So, Father, I pray for us today. I ask, Lord, that you hear this prayer. God, I pray that you stir in us. You stir in us the desire to purify our lives so that we will live in holiness and we will become more like you. Church, I pray this over you. Have a great week.